Okay, now many of those items I mentioned, I will do and more in depth as time goes on, but I want you to know that they're out there if you want to get a hold of the copies of those articles and be reading them in the meantime. Last week, I sort of did a litany of maybe 20 of the most obnoxious stories of the week, the most disgusting news items. And again, keep in mind that the common denominator between the news stories I run off and the final conclusion is that intense paranoia described in this new book on Eisenhower that I've said many times is that this country is geared to do anything it has to do to get that war ready for 1985. Now, the goal is against Russia in 1985, but if Gaddafi knows it and he's being a pawn and we're planning to kill him, he says, bring it on, I'll meet you eyeball to eyeball. So maybe it would be tomorrow because he has Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and five other oil countries behind him. And it would be very hard to make war against Russia in 1985 without oil for airplane ground troops and all the necessities that the industrialized nations depend upon. And we're not sure our allies will go for it. But that is the insanity goal, and all the other decisions we make that are bankrupting us are because of this goal of not trying to coexist. On the printed sheet last week with the tape that went out, I mentioned subjects such as the decision of the neutron bomb, the bubonic rats near Reagan's ranch, another article in the paper, Horrors in Istanbul, and it's about a young woman who was drugged. Two men followed her, and one man in front and one in back, and one injected her leg with a needle, and she became unconscious, and they put a tranquilizing drug, and luckily, she ran to somebody who saved her and protected her, and they're taking young women and then selling them into slavery. There are over 50,000 missing young people in the United States today, but the important thing about this story, Horrors in Istanbul, was that she described a similar event on 99 Golden Gate Avenue in San Francisco, where a 21-year-old woman was abducted, injected with drugs, forced into prostitution, and escaped. This is happening to people in Europe who never get back home in the United States, and it's happening in the United States. And one of the big problems is, in addition to atomic weapons, is the drug weapons, the mind control techniques, and the physical weapons to grab and take whatever these people want. Another news article last week, 750 million living in absolute poverty. Another one, $500 million to be outlaid for a special defense program. The United States will put up over $1 trillion in weapons in the next few years, but we need another $500 million, according to the Washington Post, to go quickly into wartime production to build extra plant capacity, extra workers to work emergency around the clock. It's not enough to have an increase this year of 7% after last year, a total of $222 billion for weapons, but Caspar Weinberger is asking for $500 million for another speed-up program on the side. Another article in the San Jose Mercury last week that was on the sheets, the bibliography, mergers consolidate control of silver mining industry. There's a absolute control trying to take over all the silver and mining in a group of corporations. There's a large group, a silver war going on in the United States up in Idaho. And it's getting very nasty, but overseas and in the United States, there is a determination to control all of the silver market by a few people, just as they are controlling all the gold and copper by a handful of corporations. Another article by Worldwide Abuse of Antibiotics, druggists and doctors have a global threat. They prescribe drugs that are not needed in America and Europe, and people can't even build up a resistance. The antibiotics won't even work. They're doling them out without prescriptions. A new book out, The King Over the Waters, The Scandalous Truth About the Windsors. This is Holt Reinhardt Winston, 1495. This is how they left Nassau in utter disgrace. This is Edward VIII, who married the great Wallace Simpson of Baltimore. It tells about their Windsors being too close to treason, to riot, and murder. An interesting story on the ruling class in London. Besides riding around in glass coaches, they get into some messy trouble. And Sir Harry Oakes was the fellow that was murdered down there in the Bahamas, that they were associated with that scandal. I mentioned briefly last week a very serious problem I didn't go into. The $1 billion line of credit, the corporate clout, and how certain corporations like U.S. Steel can get $3 billion credit if it wants to expand. Other corporations can get huge amounts of credit. Small people would have to go out of business because they can't borrow to maintain a mom-and-pop store or even one or two or three stores. But Mobil and Gulf Corporation can expand their business with $6 billion each. They got credit. They can buy hotels, chemical companies, coal, solar energy. They can, Texaco got $5.5 billion credit, Marathon Oil, $5 billion, and DuPont Services, $4 billion. There's a long list of corporations that just say, I want this credit, and they get it, and then they can buy up and crowd out any other businesses that come along. A very sad story in the United States, not in El Salvador, was in Newsweek. This was in July 20th. It was almost a month ago. It was a month ago, but it really disturbed me. It's called, the title of it is called Death on Juneteenth. June 19th is celebrated in Texas because when the Emancipation Proclamation came in the United States in 1865, the blacks in Texas weren't told about it for 2 years. They kept them slaves for 2 years longer, and it, being responsible for the news media and the communication, they didn't find it convenient to tell them they were freed. So when they were finally freed on this June 19th, they had began celebrations. And this year, the law enforcement picked up three black youths, two of them very good swimmers, put handcuffs on them, and threw them into a river where they drowned. It was 8 or 10 feet of water, and the youths were excellent swimmers and were drowned. And I'm sure that the law enforcement people really got a kick out of that. The reason they picked them up was they were at the celebration. They saw one of the teenagers had marijuana possession. It's absolutely ludicrous when you read the headlines and stories about the heroin and the cocaine dealing. $1 to $10 million out of Houston, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Dallas, and shipping it to islands in the Bahamas and Colombian narcotics coming in airplanes. Huge millions of dollars of narcotics. So the police go after a kid with a joint. They handcuffed the three of them, two excellent swimmers, and drowned them handcuffed in 8 to 10 feet of water. Three of the men, the law enforcement people this week, a month later, were charged on a misdemeanor for the men drowning or the boys. The charge was negligent homicide for allegedly violating the Texas Water Safety Act. Another important book out, and I'm mentioning several books here, there's a book on the churches and the funding of the political people under the title of church leaders. It's called Primetime Preachers by Jeffrey Haddon and Charles Swan. It's a new book, Addison Wesley Publishing Company. Now, this goes into Billy Graham and his association, how in 1977 it turned out he had $23 million in Texas in addition to his Minneapolis headquarters. Oral Roberts, with his millions and millions, $50 million a year sent to him from television, Rex Humbard, Jerry Falwell, Robert Shuler, Pat Robertson, and the various organizations. Robertson is a graduate of Yale University, a Marine captain in Korea, host of the 700 Club. When I came to KLRB this evening, KGO had a program. I was listening to a new article that came out called Gold in the Church. I didn't even get to hear the title of the article, who wrote it, but I'll check it up later. And the moderator was talking about the fact that these churches are tax deductible, and the money coming into them is, each one of these people gets $20 million, $21 million, $40 million. And when the churches were separated, separation of church and state, they were Ma and Pa churches next to Ma and Pa red schoolhouses, and there were tax deductions for running these little churches. And the separation of church and state was never meant for this, because people like Richard Mellon Scaife and the Coors Beer people and H.L. Hunt alone, this woman was mentioning, gave like $15 or $12 million to the church. Now, they're not just using it for religion. They're not using it to feed the poor. There's no daycare centers for children. There's no extra money if security checks run out, or for crippled or blind or deaf or any social benefits. They're putting it into destroying members of Congress who are in favor of abortions, who are against the war in El Salvador, who don't like the planned troop movement and provoking of people like Gaddafi, if we're buying from them, irritating them, the assassination plans of foreign leaders, any politician who opposes the terrible policies of this administration or past administrations is targeted. We got rid of even conservative liberals. A whole bunch of them got out in the last election. So the money is going to the church, because then they don't have to tell who gave the money, and the church is giving it to politicians, and this is all secret money. So we're talking about billions of dollars. Over $1 million a week is raised just from using television. And this new article, I'll have to get it, or maybe she was quoting from this book. I have to check it out. It's called Primetime Preachers. Tells about their owning cable television, cable stations, radio stations, TV. And again, they're down in the South this weekend burning rock music, burning Elvis Presley, telling Satan sent them, and deciding what books are in libraries, what music you can hear. They train people at various bases, people like Mark David Chapman that killed John Lennon at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, or at a CIA training camp in Beirut, Lebanon, where he was, or in DeKalb County in Georgia, heavily linked to the assassinations. The church is not separate from the politics, and this is one of the major problems in the country today, is pinning this down and separating it drastically. That would take a surgical incision to simply cut it off, and I'm speaking about probably impossibilities, because most people can't visualize the role of the church in political assassinations. I guess my first awareness came when I was reading the Warren Commission hearings and came to the volume sections about Albert Osborne. He was a missionary from Tennessee. He was on the bus going to Mexico with Lee Harvey Oswald. He worked for the National Security Council. He was over in Jamaica, where John Connolly and various people involved in these assassinations, again, heavily funding churches. John Connolly is into that movement. He's a Tyrol Bay with the large espionage operations. This Osborne was in London. He had dual citizenship between the United States and London, similar to the way Herbert Hoover had. And he accompanied Oswald to Mexico while Oswald was working for Navy intelligence, and he ran a school in Oaxaca, Mexico, that was blown, the cover was blown over in 1970 by David Copeland, using the name Torbett as his alias, the Torbett document. And the churches in the Warren Commission hearings, the published volumes, had names of churches and organizations in Texas, Tennessee, California that would send money to Mexico. And this was a missionary in Mexico, and he also used the name of Bowen. He had, Osborne had a double name of Bowen, and Jack Howard Bowen. And this money was going down to Mexico, and then it went to train assassins run by Division 5 of the FBI, by J. Edgar Hoover and William Sullivan of the FBI. And maybe sometime in the future we'll go more detail into that hearing, those hearings. Now, did the people from these little churches who were sending $25 and $50 from all over the Southwest know it was going to a school for assassins, sending merchandise down there, or did they just think they were helping the church? They could have been a mom-pa operation that they didn't know about, but Bowen and Osborne got passports and traveled all over the world, and that was my first awareness of the churches. Now, we're talking about small amount of money to run these this missionary of assassins that then linked down to Operation Condor, down to Chile, and the larger operation of Nazis all over the world, and the major assassination teams at work throughout every country in the world. Now, when you get an operation of people like H.L. Hunt and these large corporations pouring millions of dollars into what you call churches, and raking in 10, 20, 30 million a year, it's very serious. When a man like Randolph Hearst creates Billy Graham and says, let's puff him up and plump him up, and Henry Luce, who owned Lifetime and Fortune, the great Cold Warrior, written extensively in this new book about Alan Dulles, the role of Henry Luce, when he says, let's send Billy Graham to Europe and begin a Christian crusade, and then put millions of dollars in his hands, so much that a bank in Minneapolis can't even account. He forgets he has $23 million in Texas. He's embarrassed, according to this book on Primetime Preachers, that he had $23 million he didn't remember in Texas. So the separation of the church and the assassination teams is very, very important. There's another article by George Wilson in the Washington Post about the problem with our Navy being on mothballs, and the Navy can't run because we're building submarines and nobody to man them. The men aren't experienced enough. They can't get duty on the sea. We're spending billions of dollars. And the article tells how the ships are really can't be run because there's nobody intelligent enough to take the ships out long enough to achieve the goal. The Navy's goal was to make the men work these machines, and they're so complicated they can't even work them. It's a long article from the Washington Post on the problem, the build-up Navy, and how they have to be on the shore because the ships are too complicated to be run by the people who are going into the schools to learn how to run them. That's at the time that I believe it was Alexander Haig was speaking, or Ronald Reagan, at the graduation at Annapolis this year, was the day that one of the airships working for the Navy went right into the deck of the atomic submarine. Later, the autopsy showed that the guys had drugs in their stomachs. I wonder, even without drugs, if they knew what they were doing. But the ships and the machinery that we're making that is so complicated that we could build schools and hospitals and have enrichment programs for students and bare necessities are going into dinosaurs of machinery that can't even be run. And when they run into trouble. They're built inefficiently, or they're too big when they're launched to even sail out. They have to dig out a special place for them. The people that make the errors and the cost overruns get new contracts, and the inefficiency and the waste is the tragedy. There is so much to do with the money. We can't have the war anyway, and these crazy people are insisting on putting over $1 trillion into weapons, billions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into pieces of machinery that these drugged idiots won't be able to use, instead of making this a beautiful country with low-cost energy and solar energy and stop the pollution. It's a dual tragedy because the technology is here to make the changes, but the people are too lazy. They have too many diversions, too many pleasures. There's just too much going to be bothered. And it can't be for ignorance, because certainly what I'm sharing with you on the air is information that is available, and many people can see what's coming down and others can't. But the process is, how do you get a paper and read selectively what you want to see and not take in what you don't want to see? The fine line of switching sometimes, say, from an AM to an FM station. I'm in Carmel, and I'll be shopping, and somebody will see me and say, oh, I'd love to hear you. I hear you whenever you're on KGO, they'll mention. I said, well, I'm on every Sunday night on KLRB. And I bring this up over and over because there's the AM mentality and the FM mentality, and those people simply cannot switch a dial. They like what you say. They're afraid of the way the country is going, but they're too lazy to take a knob and turn it 1/8 of an inch to find out something else besides what the major media is giving to them. And they don't take all the papers that I have here, and they can't assimilate that much information on their own, but they just simply can't turn the dial. The Washington Post had an article August the 4th, A Camp for High-Powered Bohemians. That's the story of Monte Rio. It's in Santa Rosa, California. And this article tells about the summer of the Bohemian Club. Mollenhoff has written a book, Clark Mollenhoff. It's called The Bohemian Grove. And Domhoff, pardon me, it isn't Mollenhoff, it's Domhoff who wrote The Bohemian Grove. And in this article it says, in the early 40s, a few fellows were pushing twigs around the campfire. Here they decided to build an atomic bomb, they say. And right here in 1979, Alexander Haig Jr. launched his bid for the presidency. This year, Caspar Weinberger talked July 17th on rearming America. There was another talk by Caltech president Marvin Goldberger on space wars. John Young and Frank Crippen talked about their space shuttle. And people that attended the meeting were described as Mr. Bechtel Sr., S.D. Bechtel Sr. and Jr. from Hillsborough, businessman, Charles Black, Shirley Temple's husband, Leonard Firestone, Peter Flanagan, former Nixon aide, Gerald Ford, Pan Am chief, Najib Halabi, whose daughter is married to King Hussein of Jordan, metal tycoon Edgar Kaiser Jr., Secretary of State, former Henry Kissinger, former CIA director John A. McCone, who also was head of the ITT and instrumental in the CIA, he was the director when Kennedy was assassinated, And the names go on. George P. Schultz from Bechtel Corporation, Attorney General, General William French Smith, George Ball, and so forth. When the subject came up about atomic waste, one of the members said, atomic waste is no problem. A scientist said, we will soon be rocketing the stuff into the sun. If you don't think they're idiots, just let me know. I think they're absolutely obscene. And, of course, it was Eisenhower that was taken there to do his little dance in the forest with these people. They burn the symbolism of no care, and they have a good time. They have a lot of little rituals you can read in the book, The Bohemian Grove. George Ball, this article says, was dressed up in a red hooded robe and a torch. He torches a coffin that is symbolizing dull care. And then the orchestra plays a funeral dirge, and the program goes on, and they pour kerosene all over this coffin, dull cares. And you can see George Ball, a former diplomat, dressed up as Squeaky Fromm, dancing around the forest. And there's more than that that goes on, but that's the way the leaders of the world, the so-called free world, occupy themselves. Another article in the Washington Post about dung fever. It's in the Caribbean. Fidel Castro has been calling it the Yankee CIA problem, that they had the ability to eradicate dung fever. They held it up, the Pan American Health Organization. Finally, when Castro said the CIA is sending this down to Cuba and that there's 200,000 cases of it, and blamed the United States for causing the death of at least 113 people in Cuba, hemorrhaging and shock, terrible shock syndrome, the United States finally came forward and sent something over there to take care of this condition. There have been means to curtail this, and the United States has kept them off, and it's been a terrible thing in the Caribbean, but this is one of those little items. We have vials of germs, germ warfare, down in the Germ Control Center in Atlanta, Georgia, and just as the churches should be dismantled from their deductions, any church that has a budget of over $100,000 a year should have everything accountable of who puts the money in and where it's spent. And anything less than $100,000, let them play around with it. But this is a terrible problem, the people that have this immense wealth and are killing political careers of fine people by pouring money into from the church to Richard Vogery and the far right to get their opinions put into Congress. And it's a tragedy. If we lose the Congress totally, and we've practically lost it, it's because these things are happening. Men like Howard Hughes' organization, and if Hughes wasn't alive, said, I want to select the district attorneys, the police chiefs, the attorney generals, the justices of the Supreme Court, the vice presidents, and the presidents and the members of Congress. And, of course, we got a view of the Korea Gate, the payoff of members of Congress, and their Bobby Baker's mistresses and call houses to control Congress. The system is falling apart at every level. The germ warfare is one example. The churches is another. Another interesting article in the Washington Post, for those of you interested in minerals and diamonds, South Africa is buying from the Soviet Union, trying to buy up the diamond market of the world. This article says South Africa and Soviet Union, an odd pair on the mineral market. The Soviet Union is diamond rich, and they're selling their diamonds, and then, of course, they can buy their space programs or their neutron weapons. And Johannesburg, South Africa, wants to control the entire diamond market of the world. So they're taking the money from the Soviet Union. The South African Reserve Bank last year sold more than $10 billion worth of gold, and the Soviet's Zurich-based bank dealt with the same bullion dealers and Swiss banks and the Anglo-American Bank, and they're putting it in London-based consolidated gold fields, gold mining deals, and the Soviet Union is selling diamonds to South Africa, and South Africa is putting them in London and also using them to buy up the gold market, the De Beers Consolidated Mines, Harry Oppenheimer's Anglo-American Corporations. This is from the Washington Post, August the 4th, 1981. It has to do with commodities such as gold, asbestos, iron, manganese, platinum. But mainly the article has to do with the relationship of South Africa to the Soviet Union. Now, we think of South Africa as being very fascist, Nazi, the broader band, close links to Germany and Argentina. But they also trade, just as Germany and Western Europe do in Japan with the Soviet Union. They trade with the Soviet Union, and there is an exchange going back and forth. Another article out about El Salvador in the Washington Post, an account of the guerrillas and a raid by the guerrillas, and this says that this story is skeptical of the raid and the reports. The public will not believe what is being told here. The military version contains so many anomalies that Salvadorans have come to believe that the army stages attacks, such as on La Union, to portray the guerrilla enemies as foreign-backed and very strong. On that basis, the ruling junta has appealed to the United States for increased military aid, which Ambassador Dean Hinton said would be forthcoming. This is from the Boston Globe and the Washington Post, saying that the military in El Salvador are outright liars, and they're staging and blowing up areas that they say that the guerrillas in El Salvador are doing, and then they have found that these guerrilla raids were not true, and that they were shot up and done by the same pattern we had in Vietnam at the Gulf of Tonkin, an excuse for our being there, that the Salvadorans are causing raids that were not done by the guerrillas so that they could prove to America that Russia and other countries are giving the Salvadoran rebels so many weapons and they're so vicious. And then they yell to the United States, save us. You've got to save us from these people. They're overthrowing the country. And the truth is that they staged the raids themselves, and the Washington Post and the Boston Globe have an article on the skepticism. Salvadorians themselves are skeptical of the report on the raids. More articles about the climate bombs coming out recently. The dire portent for the future. This is the LA Times. That green belt, that greenhouse effect. Now, they're warning about the burning of fossil fuels and coal causing discharges of carbon dioxide in the air. This greenhouse effect is the excuse, the primary excuse for building colonies in space that the book Alternative 3 describes as future slave labor camps. But they talk in these reports now every few days about this greenhouse effect and the air contamination, and yet Conoco and DuPont are going to go heavily into coals instead of alternative energy. Instead of solving the problem, if the problem exists, they create the future problem as an excuse for the next state, because the next state is to get space war, war in space. Jack Anderson's been writing about those plans and space colonies. So we'll go ahead with the coal, even though it causes the effect, because the effect will be the excuse for the space colony. So every few days, you'll see articles, if you haven't seen them already, on the greenhouse effect. There are many good news articles out. That is all that I can share with you this week. If you read the papers closely, I think you'll see, and I know some of you are seeing what I'm seeing. The solution to it, I really don't know. It seems so far out of hand. There must be some answer to this madness, but I think before you look for solutions, you have to recognize the problem. And truthfully, I don't think enough people realize that there are problems going on. They complain about rent or transportation and a few minor problems, but they don't really feel or heard enough to know the real problems. And when they feel it, then they'll move. And until they feel it, they're not going to move. So in the meantime, we just see how it moves, how the earth moves, and how they shake us around. And stay well until next week. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Bressel. This program originates from Carmel, California.